Hey folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, your host of the Cripescast. We are presented and powered by Everlight Solar, right up there on the roof. This is a podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. And, you know, without further ado, folks, here's today's episode. Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the Cripescast, remote episode of the Cripescast. I'm coming to you from New York City. Had a show here this past weekend at City Winery, and today's guest is connected to that. Neve Shulman was there, my buddy. He's the host of the MTV show Catfish, which has been on for a while. Probably a lot of you remember it. It's still on, still going strong. Neve was there with his wife, Laura, and Laura is from Dearborn, Michigan. So we got a little Midwest connection going there.
There we go.
And there we go. Colleen Maraca joins me remotely. I guess I'm joining you remotely. You're in the Cripes.
I'm the king of the castle now, and I'm officially in charge. So
You're sitting in my Cripes cast chair.
Right? Yeah, I am. And it's nice.
Yeah, feels good.
Feels good. Gonna crack open this brandy. It's been a long week. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited that we got Neve on and the catfish. I was thinking in my head, what if there was like a Midwest catfish, but instead of it being like about dating, it's like the way that people lie about their fish. It's like very literal.
How would you do that? It's almost like how you have those little men and then you pull back. What am I trying to say?
Well, so what you can do is you can literally take it from people's dating profiles where they go like the fish is here.
Yeah.
And then it's like your buddy's fishing story. They said this, they said all this information, and then you catch your buddy in a lie. It's like Midwest catfish, like where they're literally catfishing you about the fish that they caught.
Yeah, that's good. They're literally catfishing you about the catfish. Yeah. I did talk to Neve about doing some noodling. So that could be a thing that we try at some point. Wow. You know what noodling is?
You get in it's like the backwoods.
Yeah, you've seen it.
Where their arm is like in the mud, right?
Yeah, you stick your arm in a hole, a catfish hole, it bites it, you bring it out, one of those. It's more of a southern thing.
Does the bite hurt? That's my question. Like, I feel
it doesn't feel good. And sometimes you can wear a glove, I think, but I don't really think the OGs do. I'm not too sure. I've only done it once and I wasn't successful, so we'll see. But you know what's funny is Neve's whole thing started... for those of you who don't know, Catfish is a show on MTV. It's about basically, you know, people catfishing each other online where they, you know, pretend to be someone who's interested in them or something. And that they're lying, you know, and they always have an excuse for not being able to meet up in person. And sometimes it's going after money. Sometimes it's a scam. Sometimes it's looking for just an emotional connection or whatever. Anyway, the show Catfish, Neve hosts it and he just kind of finds people who have been catfished or are being catfished. And it all started from a documentary that he did where he was catfished by a woman in the UP. So, I mean, it's tough to do a Midwest catfishing when the whole origin of catfish was in the UP.
Wow.
He was, in New York. But
and she was really anyways, a fib.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think
that was the fakest laugh you've ever done in your life.
No, I've done faker laughs.
But it was definitely fake.
It for sure was fake. Yeah. I catfished you on a laugh.
Yeah.
I didn't put enough effort into it.
Oh, it's fine.
Colleen, don't call me out on my fake laughs on my own show.
Soon everybody's going to know all the different fake laughs.
You know, I'm doing it to be polite. That's the annoying
thing. I don't need your pity laugh. I don't need it.
Sometimes I think you do.
I am A-okay without your laugh. My favorite one is the little one that you do. That Dante and I love to do.
Yeah, you guys, I love how you guys just make fun of me when I'm not there. That's nice.
Yeah. Anyway, besides that, the next shows you guys are doing are this. So you had New York this last weekend.
And then Eau Claire this coming weekend. The next year is really when we're starting back up the tour. I think Eau Claire's almost sold out or is sold out or I don't know. It's close to sold out. But then next year we're back at it, baby.
Let's go.
going all over the deal. So yeah, we got that going. You know, aside for that thing, housekeeping things off the top, you can buy those show tickets. You know, the thing about Christmas is coming up, okay? And I tell you what, here's an easy gift if you forgot to get a gift or you don't have time to wait for the shipping to come in. By the way, you still do have time. If you go to CripesCast.com, click on the merch section, you can get all of our Made in the USA Manitowoc Minute merch. Oh, it's all over there. Check it out. Great, great gifts. Good sell, Charlie. Good sell. But if you've waited past the time of where you could get this stuff shipped to you, you can just buy some tickets to a tour date. You know, that's always good.
Yeah.
Right? Or they could subscribe to the Cameo, Charlie
Patreon.
Patreon.com.
You good?
Charlie Behrens. Yeah, I'm good.
You're in a New York state of mind. You're not really here. But yeah, I think that's a great idea. My dad is like super excited for his he always, on his Christmas list, he said, I just want Manitowoc Minute merch. So little does he know I'm not spending a dollar. So
I feel like, first of all, I feel like you get him that every year.
That's literally what he sent though. Like all of us are sending our stuff in the chat of like what we want for like a Christmas list and stuff. Every single year for the past probably 4 years, it's athleisure. Why does the man need so much athleisure? Manitowoc Minute merch and then ice fishing gear. That's it every single year. And I'm like, you already have so much of this, but he loves it. So take it from Paul Maraca. He's a Manitowoc Minute brand ambassador. He loves it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I wonder if he knows you don't pay for it. Does he know you just go in the basement and just take it out of the boxes? He does now. Does he listen to the CripesCast? No, he doesn't. He does. Now he knows. You're going to have to get him some athleisure.
No, I got him other stuff that's not on his list, and he's fine, and he's going to like it. And I also, I'll get him something for, I don't know what he wants. He has pretty much everything off the Manitowoc Minute site, so I don't know what else he wants, but yeah. Anyway. What's on your Christmas list?
I mean, I'm going to get myself a little bandsaw.
I'm saying from like us, like, what do you want for Christmas so I can figure out what to get you?
Oh, come on.
You're getting a handmade something or other again. That's it.
Yeah, give me a handmade something. That's fine.
Okay.
You know, I'm too lazy to think about that. You know, I don't need anything. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. All right. Anyway, folks, well, if you're looking for getting people something, you can go to the CripesCast.com. We got show dates. We got merch. We got all the things you need right there. And also, before we start the podcast, I just want to say we have been raising money for Doctors Without Borders. You can find their website in the show notes, doctorswithoutborders.org. But once again, it's hard to know what to do with a lot of people's feelings about what's going on in the Middle East right now. But that is an easy way to show support for just the tragedies that we have been seeing all over the news. Check it out. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org, linked in the show notes. And with that, folks, without further ado, here is my conversation with your favorite host of the show, Catfish, Neve Shulman.
So lucky penny for the podcast. Yeah. Let's
see, what year is it? 68.
Big things happened in 68. It was a year of chaos, right? Didn't Bobby Kennedy go in 68?
Oh, wow.
Or was it not 68?
Bobby Kennedy?
Robert?
Oh, okay.
Oh, the other.
Well, because there's.
Yeah, now there's the right. Bobby Kennedy. But back then, I think they called him Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, I never thought. I've never heard of that. Yeah, 68 was a turbulent time.
It was. It
time was of turbulent. Love, time of expression, war.
Yeah,
the whole shebang.
A lot going on. Assassinations. That whole thing. Anyway, it's a nice penny though. Yeah. So we were talking earlier about stains on clothing. Stains,
yeah. So you don't see any really obvious stain on this, do you?
Now I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Bing, boom, bing. See, the wrinkles save you from the stain recognition. Right. Now on this one, how many scenes do you see?
Well, I don't think I would have identified them on my own, but I do. So I see one here. There's definitely one in the pocket, which is probably the one you had wondered about, right?
No, I was wondering about, that's the one Dante called out.
And I see it now, yeah.
And Dante reprimanded me while you're in the bathroom. He said, Charlie, we just bought that.
No, but that's, I think that you have to just
roll with it.
Yeah.
You gotta roll with it. See, Dante? And then, oh yeah, we had this, and then he's gonna say that you have three kids and I have zero excuses.
No. Stains are stains.
Stains are stains.
Yeah.
That's very philosophical of you. Yeah. I honestly think though, like when it comes to clothing and stains and cuts and holes, it's just part of it. And it once we lean into that look, mm-hmm. I feel like as a society, we're leaning into that doesn't fit, it's messed up look, right? They're upselling this stuff at thrift shops for like
I know
twice the value.
Right. I mean, if I had one clothing related topic that I really wanted to get into.
And this is the place.
This is it. I think it's insane with all the science and technology that we have
mm-hmm.
that I can't dry my clothes without them shrinking significantly.
Oh, tell me about it.
I don't understand. We can't figure this out.
Actually, you ready for it? You can. And you do it without any technology.
Oh, just lay it.
you throw it on over the kitchen table chair.
The back of a chair, right.
Yeah, and hopefully not a cloth one.
Right.
Because that creates mildew.
Right. I just feel like I shouldn't have to air dry my clothes to avoid significant size reduction.
You'd think there'd be like...
Now, maybe the dryer settings, I could get a little bit more into the dryer settings and use the delicate or permanent press.
No, you can't. I've gone down the dryer settings. They're all lies.
It's fair, yeah.
You need an air fryer of dryers is what you need. I feel like the air fryer came in and revolutionized the way people who didn't know how to cook. And
do you use one?
I have one.
You have one. Different.
I've used one.
You've used it.
I've used
one.
Once. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm working on it. I like that we're putting this out there for the universe to.
I mean, I. Yeah. It bothers me every day. Every time I put stuff in the dryer, I think, should I do this?
Well, you know.
I do a lot of laundry also.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, and you got kids.
Yeah,
and you're not going to separate your stuff from your kids' stuff. No. Like, who's got time for that? No. I've never separated my clothing ever in my life.
Ever. You mean like lights and darks?
Yeah, I don't believe in that. I think that's racism.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, you know, I thought that we should. Yeah, that should have done away with that
years ago. Yeah, but consequently, I have. And no, I don't mix delicates from socks or whatever. I don't even know how to do it. I don't know the rules. I don't know where we begin.
I have learned from my wife what not to dry.
Okay.
Certain things that should not be dried. Like,
I don't know those.
Like gym stuff, you know, like.
You don't dry gym stuff?
I don't think you're supposed to dry like elasticy nylon stuff. You don't have to. And also bras.
Oh.
I think, right? Is that right? You're not supposed to dry those? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, learn something new every day. No drying the bra.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, anything that says do not dry. Anyway.
Well, thanks for coming to the show last night.
Yeah.
That was super cool.
That was fun.
Yeah. It's cool of you guys to stop on by, pop on by. Very, that was a surprise. You didn't want to message me and let me know that was going to happen.
Well, I had messaged you when I was in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
To see if you were around.
Yeah, and then
and you were not.
You back.
Right,
I
you
wasn't.
Did, right. You weren't around.
Oh, so this is my
mess
up. No. It is. This is my mess up.
No, yeah. And then.
You come into my city, you text me, I come into yours, I don't.
I hadn't considered it, but it's true.
No, yeah.
No, but my wife had already bought the tickets, so I thought, oh, great, we'll just go. And it's actually funny. We had a, so my wife's from Michigan.
Yeah.
She's very Midwestern. I love that about her. And I've come to really love Midwesterners almost entirely.
Almost.
Well, I mean, I haven't met all of them. But for every Midwesterner I have met, I pretty much like.
Yeah.
And so we go to the show. I've never been to the City Winery. And we got there. I don't know why you pushed your Well, that's another story. Anyway.
Wasn't me. Was the
show got pushed. Fine. We get there at 8 for now an 8:30 show. And there's already a line. Oh. All the way down the stairs, out almost to the, I was like, wow, these people are really showing up. Now, maybe they didn't know it was pushed, so they were just there already because they thought it was an 8 o'clock show. But my instinctual sort of New York East Coast mentality was like, shit, like, we're going to get shitty seats because it's not assigned seating. So I start poking my head around, hoping that I'll see somebody who works there who might recognize me, who then might... And it worked, right?
Yeah.
So, you're like, and the guy who was sort of managing the line is like, hey, don't worry. Once they open the doors, just like, I'll pop you in the line right here. So I say to Laura, like, I got it. Don't worry. Get off the line and come wait over here. And then, of course, they put us in the line, but it was very obvious to all the people waiting that we had been sort of inserted.
Special.
So we then, privilege. So then immediately we feel like bad because they're all like staring at us, having just sort of essentially cut the line.
Yeah.
Right. And then, we get seated, and I didn't know this, but Laura had purchased sort of a premiere ticket. So we
had a
priority spot, but it's not assigned. And the, we'd bought four tickets, and our other friends couldn't come.
Oh.
So now we're sitting at a table with two extra seats. And some ladies who came in at the end of the line, whom we had inevitably cut at some point, walked over and said, hey, is anyone sitting here? Do you mind if we sit? And both of us, of course, our preference being to not have other people sitting at our small table, was not to lie, but to sort of say, hey, sorry, we have some friends who might be coming. And they had to go find less desirable seats.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just laughing at how in a room full of wonderfully nice and courteous Midwesterners, we had managed to be huge assholes. We'd so classically been the, you know, East Coast, like, jerks.
Yeah.
Cut the line, got the table, didn't want to let anyone sit with them, and we felt a little bad about it.
Yeah. But now you're you know, confessing it.
Yeah. And well, that's why I was happy when you reached out, because I could, just so I could
set the record straight.
Apologize to the
Barb and Sherry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those ladies, whoever they were.
Yeah.
We knew that our friends were not coming.
I'm sure one of them was a Barb.
Very possible,
I can almost guarantee that. Well, I'm glad that you were able to set the record straight here, and I do appreciate that. And more importantly, I appreciate you coming out. That was super nice of you. You know, and I set the record straight by not reaching out to you when I was in your city. So I feel like we both have gotten a little some off our chest.
You may not have even known that I live in New York.
Well, I guess it didn't immediately click.
Right.
You know? And perhaps I was hyper focused on
you got a show. You're doing
a show. Yeah. But thanks for coming on. I mean, I think it's I've been trying to think of like some, you know, ever since you reached out that time, which I really appreciate. I've been kind of thinking like, you know, what could we do? You know, and so it's always nice to start with a podcast, you know, and then kind of sometimes ideas come from that.
Sure.
We pick up on a thing. Like even now I'm thinking we could do a bit about drying clothes, you know?
Yeah.
Something that simple.
Oh my God. Or just how bad, well, I don't know. Are all guys kind of clueless when it comes to laundry? No.
Dante?
Some people are good at it.
Are you clueless when it comes to laundry?
I was.
Right. I mean, I've learned in the last few years now with the kids and my wife. I mean, I don't know. In New York City, and I'm sure other major cities, are you familiar with the electric dryers, the non-gas dryers?
Sure.
Right. So, because in code now for a lot of cities is they've eliminated gas dryers.
Gas is gone
because it's ventless, right? So you can't. It's for a lot of reasons now you can't have a heat duct that's venting out that hot air from your dryer.
Yeah.
And these new fancy, they're sort of European style drying machines.
Freaking Europeans.
They're great for in some ways, but they don't dry as quickly. And also, and maybe this is just ours, but you gotta know, it's like a, there's like a cheat code to get the thing to start. Have you ever tried one of these?
Oh, it's like a video game.
It has
game.
To be off, and then you have to open it, yeah. And you have to fill it, you have to close it, then you have to turn it. And if you don't do that combination of things correctly, somehow you go to press the start button, it just beeps at you and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Have you found that?
I have no, it's like a video game that's not
just
fun.
Just start drying. I hit the start.
Boom.
I don't know.
Shouldn't be that hard. I've got a dishwasher that acts of a certain way. Of a certain disposition.
Yeah, they're so specific and delicate with their order of operations.
They're privileged, is what they are.
I don't know.
It's this new generation of drying appliances and washing units in the household that they don't know what it's like to come up with nothing.
Well, that right, and they want you to learn how
them.
To do it properly.
Like,
right,
I bought you.
You're supposed to be working for me.
Yeah. But it's just one of those grievances. No one cares what we have to say about it, you know?
Maybe not.
It's just one of them things that's going to be, and we just have to live with it. We, again, have to be the ones to meet halfway.
Right. Or I guess we could get rid of them.
We could, and just do it the old-fashioned way.
I like a hand wash.
Yeah, I'm a hand, in the sink?
I do dishes in the sink. I mean...
Soothing.
Yeah. There's also something... to do.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Especially at a family party.
Right. Keeps you busy. Some, you know, you're dude. I'm doing the dishes.
Yeah.
It's like 10 to 15 minutes of peaceful, unbothered, task-oriented time. You can zone out.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it's satisfying in that you have mess and then it's no mess. You know, it's like accomplishing something.
Thanksgiving. Of last year, this really came to light for me because I was watching my brother Bill and his kids were kind of running all over, you know, and you could tell he had kind of had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell he had it because it was during cocktail hour. He's in the kitchen doing the dishes.
Yeah.
And he's just, and I knew that he definitely was avoiding the party because you know what he started cleaning on Thanksgiving? The coffee pot.
Oof.
He pulled the coffee pot. He said it needed it. That's something people clean twice a year.
Right.
Bill chooses on Thanksgiving to clean the coffee pot.
Well, to be fair, I imagine sort of post-Thanksgiving dinner is a good time for coffee.
Certainly is.
Right, yeah.
As is, this is, by the way, my parents' coffee pot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, wow, not even his house.
Not even his house.
Okay.
No, he was just looking for things to do
sure.
where he didn't have to make any sort
I like vacuuming a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Big vacuumer.
Right, because then there's no chance for conversation.
Yeah. One, you get to move around. You can just change rooms whenever there's an issue.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a fine art to that. Do you ever get down the rabbit hole of watching people like shop vac very messy rooms and just like line by line?
Oh, I haven't gone that deep, but I do like watching that lady who cleans bathrooms and kitchens
with a nice voice.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
But finding the disgusting stuff.
I also like the guy who mows lawns a lot.
Yeah, the aerial views of that. Same deal.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen the aerial views as much as just the guy who does it for free. He like finds
yards
that are
too.
Overgrown, and he's just like, "Can I clean your yard?"
Yeah. And then he like starts scraping the sky.
Yeah.
The
and then he
the
just shows
sidewalks.
Fast motion. It's sort of ASMR-y in that you can hear the.
Yeah. It's really. I don't know why that's so appealing to the brain, but it is. Yeah.
I think it comes back to just the satisfaction of some physical task accomplished.
Yeah.
Which at least appeals to me a lot. You know?
It creates dopamine.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people do it, you know, in emotional ways. Some people do it, you know, with writing or painting.
Yeah.
I like cleaning.
Yeah. That's great quality to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a vacuum guy.
I really am.
Yeah. What kind of vacuum you got?
Dyson.
Nice.
Cordless. Yeah.
Cordless.
Yeah. For sure.
You ever switch it up and go like super old school? You ever get into the older models? Kind of like how a writer might get a typewriter, you know?
I mean, I grew up with older vacuums.
No, I know. I'm just saying, have you...
I wouldn't, how would one do that? You mean, like, actually go buy an old vacuum?
Yeah, go to a vintage vacuum store of sorts.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you've considered it.
I hadn't.
Okay. It's a simple question, really, if no is the answer.
That's it, then, I guess.
Yeah. Might be something to consider. Christmas is coming up. Maybe I'll get you something.
My car has a vacuum built into it.
Get the fuck out of here. What?
Yeah.
What kind of car do you
have? It's a Chrysler Pacifica. It's a minivan. It's our family car.
Oh, and, a little.
No.
Not a little Zoom buddy?
No, a full pull-out tube to reach pretty much anywhere in the car. And then in the trunk is like the actual filter canister. And like once every month, I like just pulls out, you dump it.
On.
It's amazing.
Is this a new one?
It's a newer car.
Oh, I love minivans.
Love.
I mean, a minivan is a more practical vehicle than a pickup truck, in my opinion.
I agree.
Even if you're doing from a working standpoint, you know?
Since we got this car, for my first minivan, I'll never go back.
My first car was a minivan.
Really?
Dodge Grand Caravan SXT. Shot it with a shotgun. That's why I got it. It was my dad's. He made me purchase it. But it's honestly the reason my career is the way it is, because I went and worked as a PA and I became the set PA because I would move cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
It's the reason I'm sitting here talking to you.
And now the new ones, all the seats, second and third row seats, go fully flat into the floor.
Ah, that's what I'm
It turns into a cargo van when you need it to.
The stow and go.
Stow and go.
And Dodge Grand Caravan SXT did that before anyone else.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Chrysler Dodge.
Same church, different view.
Right. Yeah.
So, how did you think to begin? Catfish obviously was the thing that took you off.
Yeah.
On the deal. How long was that brewing before you were shooting?
Oh, the documentary.
The doc.
Well, yeah, it didn't brew. Well, okay. The process of that documentary happening was very organic. I was sharing an office with my brother and our friend Henry, who are filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was in the filmmaking space doing documentary sort of videography, weddings, bar mitzvahs, stuff like that. And I started under no expectation of a documentary, a friendship with this family in Michigan, in the UP. And it was just funny and weird and interesting. And I would mention it to my brother because we were sharing an office. And I think after the third or fourth time, I sort of mentioned what was happening. And as it got more interesting and a little bit weirder, he just instinctively thought, I'm going to capture some of this. This is interesting, and Neve tends to kind of have things happen that are camera worthy. So as I would turn around and read an email or open a box that they would send me, he would just put his little, you know, mini cam on, film it, and then download that to a hard drive and store it away. And we never had a plan for it. It was just his sort of funny little collection of clips of Neve and his friends in Michigan. And then it wasn't until after 8 months of that relationship that things got weird, and my brother thought, this is stranger than I thought and could go somewhere. We should really turn our cameras on and like actually make an effort to film whatever happens next. And in doing so, we decided it was then time to fly to the UP, meet these people in person, and record that experience. And it turned out to be so unusual and unexpected that they then realized, oh my God, we can tell this whole story with all these clips that we have from the past 8 months. And now this footage from this weekend that we spent there.
And before we kind of dive a little deeper, for those who haven't seen Catfish, what would be your sort of elevator deal?
I would just say it's the very unexpected result of an internet relationship between myself and a family in Michigan that starts off incredibly innocent and charming and turns into a very complicated and emotional there's a twist that takes us to a very complicated and emotional place where we discover that the people I had thought I was talking to were vastly different than they actually were.
Mm-hmm. And in putting this together, and you know, you see you like going up that on that first night or whatever, and then kind of it gets deeper, and I won't ruin it for people who want to check it out, but like, was there a certain point where you guys knew like, oh, we for sure have something? Like, did you have your turning moment? Did we kind of witness that?
Yeah, I think you see it in the doc when we start. I mean, basically what happened was they had told me all these things over the months. I had never thought to question it, just sort of taking them at face value. And then one thing became clear that it was fake or a lie. So then we just started looking into other things. And the more we did that, the more we realized, wait, they lied about this and this. What else? Like, if they lied about all these things, are they lying about everything? And so that was the moment where we thought, okay, we should go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of the turning point. Yeah. We decided we were just going to show up.
And did you expect, I guess, sort of the reaction that it got and how it spurred into a television show? I mean, could you see that coming?
Or no, I mean, I didn't even really, because I was so kind of burnt out from having just had the experience and having just had the sort of letdown of it ending awkwardly and not how I'd hoped, that I didn't really want to have anything to do with the doc. So for me, this sort of experience ended when we got home from Michigan. And for my brother and his friend Henry, the excitement had just begun, because mm-hmm. they just realized, oh my God, we've got this, you know, project now that we can start editing. And I didn't really want to have anything to do with it. And they kept asking me all these questions. And I had to keep giving them they had to keep going into my email to pull out more things. Like, it was annoying for me because mm-hmm. I was sad and kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were editing it, and then they submitted to the festivals, and it got into Sundance. And I had never been to Sundance. I didn't really know it was a big deal. But apparently, you know, it obviously is. And so when it went to Sundance, I thought, okay, cool, fun. Like, it'll be a little Sundance indie film, and that'll be the end of it. But then it was a hit at Sundance, and then it came out in theaters. And like the whole time, every step of the way, I couldn't believe this sort of embarrassing, weird thing that had happened to me was kept getting bigger and bigger and turning into more and more. And then it was like we pitched a show. And at that point, I thought, okay, cool. This, now I have a job. This could be a job for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I sort of was into it.
Yeah. When you're like, now I can officially monetize.
I don't know what else I'm going to do with my life, but maybe I'll make a TV show. And then here I am now 12 years later, still making the show.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And I still can't believe that. I mean, every time they order more, I just can't believe it.
Well, what do you think it is that, they're obviously not ordering more because demand isn't there. So, like, what do you think it is about the show that, like, speaks to people as technology has progressed, yet this kind of aspect has sort of stayed the same,
right?
You know?
I mean, I think it must be me.
Yeah, it's clearly you. Yeah. I mean, and I wouldn't even dare ask it in a leading way. But aside for you.
Right.
Okay. And that's it's a small aside.
Right. What else is there about the show?
Yeah.
I think, you know, I don't want to get too sappy.
We'll get there.
But, you know,
get there.
The show is about human desire.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the carnal or sexual way, because that's really not what it's about, but in the emotional, communal, and just sort of, I don't have the right word for it, but the show is about people's need to connect and to feel seen and recognized and like they matter.
Mm-hmm.
And before you can get there, you have a lot of emotions that you have to sort through. Insecurities, unhappiness, sexual curiosity. There's, you know, we're all struggling to figure out where we are and who we are and who we want to be with and what we like and don't like and how we feel or don't feel. And I think the show really kind of gave us people a platform to admit that, hey, you know, I've been avoiding these things or I'm uncertain about these things, but I've ignored all that because I've found someone on the internet that makes me feel good because they say hello and good morning and they ask me how I'm doing and they tell me that I'm cute.
Mm-hmm.
And for those reasons, I am going to ignore all the red flags and pretend this person exists and is exactly who I hope they are because I don't know how to, nor do I really even want to deal with all of the complicated feelings outside of this simple, nice, clean place that I've found with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a show about, you know, like ignoring your problems and looking for love and hoping that somehow you're going to win the lottery and find that prince or princess charming.
And does it ever get easier for you being in some of the most awkward situations, you know?
It definitely is easier, I think, now than it had been at times. Mm. I don't know if this is, I haven't really analyzed this thought until right now, but I do think that people are also becoming a little bit less explosive.
Mm.
In general. I think, I don't know if it's that we're less or more desensitized to strange stuff happening or we've seen it happen now so many times before that people are maybe wiser not to like let themselves be so raw mm-hmm. with how they're express themselves. I don't know. I do think that I've become less and less concerned with my part in the experience, right? So like I try to remove myself more and more from the scenario and let the people figure it out. But also, I don't know, maybe I'm being too neutralizing. I think, again, sort of to speak to what we were talking about earlier, I don't know if the things I've learned and the skills and the techniques in making the show have made me better or worse. Because now, like, I'm so good at keeping people calm and having a civil conversation sort of take place that maybe we've lost a little bit of the...
You're saying for the show?
The zazz and the... Yeah.
So, yeah, you're saying from the show standpoint, right, missing an edge. Yeah, because you're always balancing that. How do you make it...
Right. Well, I don't want people screaming and I don't want, you know, tempers flaring, even though I know that that's what makes people tend to want to watch the show. But I also am proud that the show is not an over-the-top kind of wild reality show. If there's plenty of that everywhere else, like, right. I want to encourage people to have these conversations in meaningful ways. But even as I talk about it now, I'm bored.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
do you mean you're bored?
No, I mean, it's more fun to have, like, you know, sometimes to yell and get upset and yeah. You know, say bad words.
Yeah. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's kind of like you can't, and that's interesting because I feel like the things that take off the most, whether you're a creator, or you're doing a TV show or whatever, you almost have to be careful for what you ask for because then the demand is more of that.
Right.
And then that's the echo chamber that amplifies. And then, but you've also shown that the other way works too.
And I like that our show, while it has progressively, I think, become more and more civil.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was ever, you know, so out of control. But the morals of the show have been strong and I think are stronger than ever. And people keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because we offer a much needed respite?
Respite.
Sure. Respite.
That sounds right, and yet I've never looked that word up. Yeah.
I think that's what that means. Yeah. We offer an alternative to the noisy, loud, screaming, raucous content that's out there. And I think people want it. They want to see a conversation take place about something difficult and complicated and a little upsetting that isn't volatile so that they know it's possible for them to have a conversation that they're afraid to have with someone else. And have an example of, okay, I can say those things to that person if I do it calmly, and hopefully they'll respond calmly as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hope we're setting a good example and putting out some encouraging content for people to use in their own lives.
Well, and I think like today that is such an incredible and needed example in a lot of ways, because, you know, I think maybe in that person-to-person interaction, you see one thing and it's you found a way to make it largely a cordial deal. But I feel like people typically on social media, you know, it's a lot of yelling at each other and lack of empathy on sides of right. things. And that kind of gravitates to sort of a polarizing thing. So I think, you know, the heart of it is something a lot of folks
seeing people who have done things that are objectively bad as more than just that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it the
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. So I didn't expect to get that deep we really went there. We're in that deep end. We're treading water here.
Folks, excuse the interruption, but I want to give a big shout out to Everlight Solar. They are the solar panel company for your home, and they are the solar panel company for mine. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I have Everlight Solar panels right on the roof of my duplex, and in the attic of my duplex is the Cripescast studio. So
we are literally powered by Everlight Solar.
Yeah, and it's nothing better than feeling like you're doing some good for the environment, but also some good for your bank account. You're getting free energy from the source, from the sun. Check them out, everlightsolar.com. They will come out, give you a consultation, let you know if your house is, if it makes sense to equip your house with Everlight solar panels. Check them out. I'm a huge fan of them, and I think you will be too. Folks, did you hear? You can get instant savings right now when you shop at Fleet Farm. That's right. You can use their seasonal savings coupon, and you'll get $10 off right away when you spend $75 or more. Shop for gifts for people on your list, or ignore the list entirely and pick up a gift for yourself. No one will know, and either way, you'll feel great with the instant savings you'll get. Shop today in-store or head online to fleetfarm.com and use the code Holly23 to get your instant savings. Check them out, Fleet Farm, folks. And finally, it's your last chance to get merch off Manitowoc Minute, your Midwest merch. Go to CripesCast.com, click on the merch section. You can get your Watch Out for Reindeer shirts, your Christmas gifts like an oak cribbage board made in the USA. We've got the oak bottle opener and so, so much more. Koozies, t-shirts, everything. Check it out, ManitowocMinute.com.
And
great way to support
the
CripesCast.
It's right now, if you have a purchase of $60 or more and you add the cards or add the playing cards to your cart, you get a free deck of Keep Removing playing cards. And you have to use the code FREEBIE at checkout to get a free deck of cards with a purchase of $60 or more.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Colleen. Appreciate you remembering to say that. And all right, folks, here's my conversation. Let's get back to it with Neve.
Do you have a plan on like how far you want to take it, or are you kind of day at a time? Are you?
I mean, we go season to season. So we just finished an episode. We just finished an order of 100 episodes that MTV had ordered in the end of 2019, and they just ordered 50 more. So we got to just keep going, just keep chipping away, and when we get to the end of this 50.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll order more. I mean, I have three kids. I live in New York City. It's not cheap. So
you do the math.
I'll keep making the show as long as they'll have me. I mean, what I've realized now is that I'm turning 40 in September. This show will have spanned three decades for me. I mean, I started in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's incredible.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Rob Dyrdek's got to be older than me, but like other than him, I don't know how many people on MTV are in their 40s.
Yeah.
I actually recently got a pair of glasses just for nighttime.
Oh, readers.
Not readers. My eyesight, I'm nearsighted.
I can never figure that out.
So I can see near.
Okay.
I got LASIK 10 years ago, and it's just starting to get like a little fuzzy at night.
Oh.
So I went from, you know, better than perfect vision, 2010 or something, to now like 2020, which feels soft when you've had such good vision for so long. And so I like when I look up at the night sky.
Oh, you want to
see the stars are not crisp.
Not HD.
They're a little fuzzy.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So I got some glasses and I was kind of into it. It was fun. And my kids thought it was so wild that I got glasses. Oh my God, Daddy got glasses. And I told my wife, I said, hey, what do you think? I was going to like maybe wear these on the show. And she said, no. Like, don't give people watching any reason to see you as like older.
Wait, I'm wearing glasses right now.
Well, yeah, but you wear glasses, right? It's not like I haven't been wearing glasses.
I see.
So if I all of a sudden start wearing them, is it going to age me up? Is it going to make me seem less relatable?
Interesting.
Now, I can't imagine anyone, you know, in their teens or 20s looking at me and thinking I'm relatable as is. You know, I feel very old, but I don't, well, to them, I seem like, I think they see me as like an, like dad,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Which is also weird because.
Yeah, because you're.
It's one thing to be a dad,
older than me or something right. like that.
But it's also another, like, to have people, that's, yeah.
It's one thing to be a dad. It's another thing for teenagers to see you as
and
a dad.
And not even teenagers, like, you know, we live in Brooklyn in a pretty young neighborhood. And, like, we go out at night and people at bars of age, adults, you know, young adults, like, they're so excited when I come in. But it's not because, like, they think I'm cool or like, or that the girls are going to try and flirt with me.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, like you're that person I grew up watching on television, you know, and you're like married and you have kids. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm also out and fun. And they're like, no. We're not trying to hang out with you. We just want to take a picture and like say hi.
Yeah. But, you know, it's you go yeah. into it gracefully.
I,
for the record, think you can wear the glasses because you still got an earring.
Well, the earring I put back in recently after taking it out in college.
How did
it just
that
went
feel?
Right back in?
The hole never closed.
Never. Apparently, a properly healed piercing never really closes unless you know, I don't know, some strange circumstance. So yeah, I put it, I have a second one too. And now I'm like, should I had it one in there, but it fell out. So just sticking with the one, the well, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, exactly. He had a little dangle on his, didn't
no.
he? I think.
He did not. I've only ever seen him with the hoop.
Okay. Maybe it's just a hoop.
Might be a bigger hoop.
I thought at one point I saw a little dangle on his ear, but I could have just dreamt it.
Is it very noticeable? Yeah, I guess it is.
That's cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cool.
I just got a new little mini tattoo.
What'd you get?
Oh, I just got a number 4 on my ankle.
Oh, yeah?
It was a...
Yeah?
I went on a... I guess you call it an ultra run. With a team of 6 people.
You killed 2 of them, so you got the number 4.
That's it.
Sick.
Who told you that?
I just guessed. No, I was making a funny. So why did you get 4?
No, well, so we ran for a long time rotating. Mm-hmm. And so each of us had a number in the group. And my number happened to be 4, which happens to be my lucky number. So I was like, great, perfect. And then at the end, we all wanted to get some sort of communal experiential tattoo to commemorate our achievement.
Yeah.
And we cycled through some other ideas and eventually we landed on, well, what if we each just got our number in the rotation? And so we did.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
How many other tattoos do you have?
Just one.
Okay.
Which is a catfish.
Yeah.
Like a friend tattoo. Like me and a few other friends who made the doc.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And now having 2 tattoos now, that's much different than 1 tattoo. Are you getting the bug to get more tattoos?
I like the idea of small... tattoos to sort of commemorate meaningful things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the urge to like cover myself in art.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do something Or like I was thinking about doing something for like my kids, you know, although they're still alive.
Yeah.
It's like weird to kind of get a tattoo like for your kids.
Yeah, and then, each kid's gonna need a tattoo.
Right? I was thinking that.
So you got some more tattoos coming for you.
Oh, you mean a tattoo for each
For each kid.
For each kid.
Yeah. Sure. I think that's only fair.
Right.
Yeah.
I could also make sort of one thing that encompasses all of them. Right?
You could, but I think it'd be more fun if you did three of them.
I'm into that. What about you? You got any tattoos?
I do not have tattoos. Would you believe it? Would you think that I would have a
tattoo? Are tattoos would you say tattoos are a big Midwestern thing?
I would say folks in the Midwest, Dante's from Sheboygan. He's got, how many tattoos you got, Dante?
Five
tattoos. Sid, she's got five. She's from St. Louis area, Missouri. It still counts. And
I was actually, I liked your joke last night about, was it Kansas? No. What, the basement of
Indiana. Yeah.
Because I was shocked when I recently looked up what states are Midwest.
Yeah.
And I was surprised.
By which state?
Yeah. Oh, I would say by mostly the southern.
Missouri, you didn't think
borders.
Counted,
huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't think about it that way.
It's interesting because, you know, I wrote the Midwest Survival Guide, the book, and in doing it, I didn't know it was specific. I didn't know they actually mapped it out in the U.S. I was just going to come up with some states that I thought should be
included. You have included Missouri?
Of course.
I mean,
Missouri's one that goes southern, goes in between. Right. And, you know, you do have the plain states, but Missouri definitely counts. You know, it's definitely Midwest. And
are the Dakotas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah.
But how far west does it go?
That's it. The Dakotas, Iowa, you know, Nebraska.
And are those all central time zone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So it is also specific to...
It's all central. No.
Oh.
Because Ohio is
Eastern.
Eastern. Yeah. Michigan is Eastern too. Yeah.
Oh, that is true. Right. That's right.
Parts of Indiana.
Okay. So it's East, true? Eastern and Central.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of a wild thing there. But yeah. Would you ever do live shows, like stand up, that whole deal?
I'm not a comedian.
I just want to know if you kind of, in the same way you wanted three more tattoos.
Right. I've done a lot of speaking engagements where I have a talk.
Nice.
That I put together with some videos and some, you know, some crowd work.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like being on stage for sure.
Yeah.
I did a lot of colleges and have you done that circuit?
I've done some colleges. Yeah, not through
have
the
you were his manager, right? Yeah. You should, yeah. Have you taken him to the... I can't remember what it's called, but like every year they have this big college conference where all the student organizers from the schools come and like find new acts to book for like their upcoming year.
So Dante's my producer, my manager.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry,
my manager hasn't done that because NAFTA?
Yeah.
No, NAFTA would be the North American Free Trade. Yeah.
But you're right. It's something like that.
I haven't. And the reason I haven't is I just started booking them independently and it was fine. Okay. Like booking a school year there, you know? Great. So anyway, but it's fun. I wanted to give. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought it'd be fun to recount my first Christmas in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Because we got to talk about your wife, who is so much fun. Oh, my God. And we thought that. She's from Dearborn, so I threw out last night in the green room.
Okay.
We're chit-chatting,
yeah.
Giving the audience the recap. Your wife's talking about Dearborn, and of course I throw out the one fella I know from Dearborn, my brother-in-law, said his last name. She's like, I know his sister. And I was like, yeah, he's got his sister that name. And we were thinking two different families.
Right.
Yeah.
But You also happen to, your sister happens to be married to the son of the former mayor or something.
Guido? That was confusing.
Is
to
that
me.
True?
Well,
because that's why I think Laura was like, oh, that's why I recognize that name.
And but, and it could be a different Gabe Guido is my brother-in-law.
And was his dad?
I his dad
a high-ranking government official at the state level.
I can't tell you. I don't believe that's
okay.
the case.
Okay, maybe yeah. not.
I could be wrong though.
But it was funny to see her, my wife, cycle through the thrill of how coincidental and satisfying it was for you to throw out one person in Dearborn and her to be like, oh my God, I went to high school with his sister. And then for the rest of the night to see her spiraling,
mm-hmm.
reaching out to other friends in Dearborn, realizing that she might be wrong. And mm-hmm. is that who she thinks it is? And then finding out that it's not. I mean, just from high to low in the course of about 4 hours. She couldn't sleep. She was up. I mean,
she's like, I got to figure this out. Meanwhile, I was going to call my sister at some point today to ask her about it, but I never got there. Luckily,
call her.
You know, your wife did all the
Will she story. Answer if you call?
Sure, she'll answer.
Let's see. Yeah, a lot of pressure. See.
This is, look at the investigative journalist in you.
This is, yeah, well, this is where things get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Making real phone calls live.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you
should have filming. Yeah.
Okay, what's her name?
Betsy.
Just have her and a sister. Don't you have more than one? You have one sister?
She's the first sister.
So what are the other sisters in under?
Sister two, three, four.
No.
I'm kidding. Some of them have names. If others okay. have nicknames. Shit, I'm not gonna fucking answer. You know, this is such a
have you seen there's that trending thing right now, which is like
your call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available. At the tone.
If I, you know, if I, $1 million to call someone, but only if they don't answer. That you only get the $1 million if they don't answer.
Oh,
who
could,
do you call?
I could give you, oh, dude. Yeah, that's super fun. That's a great game. I could give you like 36 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure they wouldn't answer?
Pretty goddamn sure. Yeah. For $1 million, yeah, I could
Who's
give you
Who's like
some
the
people.
First that comes to mind?
First, my buddy Scott.
Oh,
Scott will, he won't answer probably because he's busy. He's doing stuff,
okay.
But he'll text me like maybe later.
Should we try it out? I mean, I don't have $1 million.
Do you know, actually, do you know Scott? Do you know Scott Evans?
I don't know.
He works at Access Hollywood.
Oh,
all right. Let's see it.
So this is for a theoretical $1 million.
He's my old roommate.
If he answers.
Theoretically $1 million. All right.
It's over. It's all over.
He's going to. I'll see if he likes that. I threw him under the bus. All right, Scotty, don't answer.
But where does he live? L.A.?
He's in L.A.
So he should be awake.
I think he's working. I could also put my dad on this list. Actually, my dad would probably answer. But he's 50-50.
What about your ex-wife?
God. Not only that, not only did he not answer, he sent me to voicemail.
Yeah, you think so?
That was four rings.
Oh, okay.
Four rings.
Oh, I never paid attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
that's a fun game.
So I love the Midwest.
Yeah.
The whole reason I have a TV show is because I had dreamed of and fantasized about living in Michigan and hoped to move to the UP.
I wanted to bring that up because you found another Michigan gal.
Right. And then I ended up actually marrying and starting a family with a girl from Michigan.
She's from the lower part of the Midwest.
Detroit, basically, yeah.
Yeah, Detroit.
Is that okay? Is there?
No, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
Interesting that you really pointed it out.
Well, I mean, the UP.
No, not, right, yeah.
Is a beautiful place.
But, you know,
should
it's
be
funny,
part of Wisconsin.
Her dad's side of the family is from the UP. So like, there is some.
So maybe they knew. Do they know each other?
I don't know. Good
That'd
question.
Be a me thing. That's a very
and
Midwest
she has a lot
thing.
Of family in Wisconsin too.
Yeah,
but I love it up there. And I remember that we met in June of 2015, and by that Christmas, we had spent enough time together that she invited me to come up for Christmas. And I'd never done Christmas. You know, I'm a Jewish kid from New York City. So like, you know, I just never had a Christmas tree, never partook in any of that. So very excited. They have a whole family tradition. They go to the garden center on the end of their street Christmas Eve, because that's when the trees are the cheapest. They're discounted.
That's when they do it. That is so amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's, you get them for 10, they're basically giving them away at that
firewood
point.
Firewood at right? that point. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Your choices are limited, but there's always something.
Yeah.
So we walk down to the end of the street, we get it for $20. I mean, the 20 Sick. Bucks
yeah. for a
full size. No, oh, yeah.
And I can tell you, if you cut one down, $18 a foot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they're giving them away. We walk it back, set it up, decorate it. You know, we go in the morning. So Christmas Eve, but it's the end of the day.
Yeah. It's an event.
Right.
It's a tradition.
And it's a whole fun thing. And anyway, so fun. Then that night we went out. The next night we went out. And well, I was telling you about Cajou Cafe, that great old,
yes.
I think it's Belgian. I think it's a Belgian bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of just north of Detroit that has feather bowling. Now, there's a couple things about the Midwest that I like. One is that there's this feather bowling place. I think it's the only one I know of in the United States. And I've been all over the United States and I'm always looking for feather bowling. I've never found it anywhere else. So that's one reason I love Detroit, but also whirly ball.
Whirly ball.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very.
I love whirly ball.
It's a pretty Midwestern thing.
I didn't know that.
There are a couple other places, one of which was in Orlando that closed. I mean, I'm really, when I'm on the job and I'm filming all over the country, first thing I do when I go to a new place is to see if they have whirly ball. And they never do, except for Orlando, which closed. But there's a couple spots in the Midwest. So I love that. But we went to Cajou Cafe. Laura invited all of her local hometown friends, one of whom is her first boyfriend.
Who's not weird.
No, well, no, it was at first. Okay. But then we got so drunk together mm-hmm. and had so much fun. And he's so great. His name is Noah. And he's the best. I now have a friendship with Noah, very separate from Laura. And I've hung out with him in Denver where he lives now. Like, we go out all the time. He's great. It is funny and weird, but I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cajou Cafe, wasted, went to some other place after, on the way back, throwing up out the car window.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Which was, I think, a real rite of passage. I've never done that before. I mean, you know.
Well, welcome.
I've thrown up from drinking, you know, at like medieval times, but like never out the car window.
Streaking off the car.
Yeah. Yeah. And then woke up just face down on the floor under the Christmas tree.
God, that you just had picked up. That in itself is a Christmas
movie. It was a great Christmas.
Yeah. That
plush wall to wall carpeting of the entire first floor of her childhood home.
Oh, they haven't changed it out.
No.
Have they? Oh, yes.
No, it's not changed. And it looks great too, because pretty much every square inch of it is covered with cheap kitchen bath mat rug, like little, you know, like.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There's like
the rugs on the rugs.
Yeah, there's like a trail of small rugs
over
on the most
rugs.
Highly trafficked parts so that it doesn't get dirty.
That's usually, those rugs come in after it's been trafficked so hard.
Well, it's pretty clean. I mean, it's also like a cream color. I mean, it's like kind of like this.
Yeah.
It looks great for its age. It's like 30 years old.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, looking good.
Yeah, we do have a preservation of our styles, you know, in the Midwest.
I mean, I can't believe her dad still has like the little arm, you know, on the sofa, those little like thing, like the fabric that covers the arm of the sofa.
Yeah.
So, you know, like.
You still got that?
Well, they fall off a lot.
They fall off?
Yeah, you know, put them back on.
Put them back on.
Yeah.
I forgot. We had this couch. Oh my God. Yeah. We had this plaid couch growing up that had those.
Yeah.
Got it from my grandparents.
Big recliner.
Took all my grandparents' furniture.
Yeah, of course.
As kids growing up. My folks did. You have to. It's good furniture.
Anyway, these are the things that I love about Midwestern homes and people.
Yeah.
They take care of stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
And then they don't take care of other stuff, but they'll fix it.
Right. You know,
unless it's a shirt.
Yeah.
And then we'll just let the stains red. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask these two, did you guys have any questions as fans of the show that you as fans didn't get answered? A question from Sid, by the way, Dante's girlfriend.
In some of your more recent episodes, you've had catfish that end up being scammers who, for obvious reasons, don't want to or can't meet
sure.
you. In your earlier seasons of the show, did you come across this often? And is that something that's become more prevalent as the show's progressed, or
what right. a question, Sid.
Yeah, that's a
jeez.
Real
do you
deep,
wanna,
deep cut.
Do you want to repeat it?
Yeah, I don't think the folks yeah. Well, can so we've had some scammers mm-hmm. over the years, and look, I'm always surprised that people come on the show.
Yeah, right.
For any number of reasons,
even to this day.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Whether you're in love with someone and you think they could be lying to you, or you've been lying to someone and you have to come clean, it never seems like the best way to do that would be in sort of this very public way.
When
but,
you have no control over the edit or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But people trust us, rightfully, because we present them as honestly and objectively as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't sort of try to, you know, point the finger and say, we gotcha. And I think for that reason, people do take the opportunity to go through these difficult moments and these tough conversations with our help. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy about that. But if you're a scammer, and we've had some, it is strange that you'd want to reveal yourself. Now, I did notice that since the pandemic, we've had a bunch of episodes where people who lost their jobs or you know, couldn't get a job or just were, you know, struggling, have felt more justified using the internet to get money from people in sort of surreptitious ways than they might have otherwise, and didn't feel bad about it. They're like, yeah, look, I didn't have money, I lost my job, and I just talked to guys and they send me money. Like, what's the big deal? So we've had a bunch of, a little bit of an uptick, I think, in that sort of attitude towards scamming, like scam, light scamming, you know?
It's interesting because you think about OnlyFans.
Right.
Similar business model, you know? I mean, not scamming. Let me say that. But right. It's you're offering something, attention, affection.
Right, exactly.
In return, you're getting a new pair of sunglasses sent to you. Money.
Right.
Now, not again, to defend right. it.
No, but... But I do think that there's a line that gets crossed when people, falsely present themselves or
true.
Misrepresent themselves.
True. Oh, sure. I mean, any line, really.
Right.
You know? But I could see, perhaps, where that justification is coming from.
Yeah. Like, hey, you know, you're... So that is interesting. And sometimes I wonder if, like, some of these people in the right venue... And like an OnlyFans. So I've sent a lot of people to OnlyFans, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah?
There's a girl that's been on the show now twice for catfishing. She's transgendered, and I keep telling her, like, there are a lot of people... She likes to talk to guys, and she likes to get sort of showered with affection and financial... gifts, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. I was like, if you like, there's a lot of guys that would love to
sugar daddies,
right?
Right.
Sure, there are plenty of sugar daddies out there that would be super into you in a fully transparent relationship, rather than the sort of straight guys that are not necessarily looking to be with a transgender woman,
mm-hmm.
who are now going to be disappointed and upset. So rather than endanger yourself and potentially piss someone off,
mm-hmm.
just find the people that are looking for you, and they're out there. So I think she has since, I don't know if she's on OnlyFans, but I know she's got her, like, you know, she started a page for herself, and I helped sort of boost her profile and shared her stuff. So, you know.
That's cool. Yeah, it's kind of taking this thing and saying, is there a legitimate avenue
right.
for it?
And there, you know? I think there is nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pot for every kettle.
A lid
for every pot.
Ah.
Sid, did that answer your question?
Yeah. I was wondering, in your like earlier seasons, obviously the goal was to meet the person. Were there times where there just was no like firm and solid ending? You kind of just had to wrap it up.
We did, yeah. We've had some episodes that ended a little undefined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't have a clear finish line. We tried to meet this one girl. That was crazy. I'm gonna try to recall, but basically there was this guy and this girl they'd been talking for a while. She would kind of come and go and disappear. We looked her up and we found some news stories about how she had had a child with some drug dealer and not abandoned the child, but the child, whatever. It was, she had a rough sort of life and some shit had happened to her. And she's now in a relationship with this guy who's in jail. And we wanted to meet her and she said she would meet us, but it turns out the guy got out of jail that same week. And she couldn't talk to him and be like, hey, I just need to go meet this guy I was talking to while you were in jail. You know, like.
Doesn't come across.
Right. Yeah. So we didn't get to meet her. We did get to meet her sister, I think, who came on sort of her behalf and said, hey, look, she's not going to meet you. So it was a little unresolved, but kind of got the gist of it. We had one other person that didn't show up, but FaceTimed with us. But for the most part, we've been able to navigate every situation to a finish of some kind, to a completion point. And there's only been two episodes, I think, that we filmed that never aired, which is pretty good.
That is. And just because you couldn't finish it?
One was just a stupid legal. I mean, one of them was honestly one of my favorite episodes ever. And I'm sad that it never aired.
Why didn't it?
It didn't air because the young man who was sort of featured in it was a special needs individual. And so sweet, so funny and charming, but had some issues with sort of social norms.
Mm-hmm.
And adhering to sort of polite society in some ways. And after we filmed, he got in a little bit of trouble because he was partially nude in a public park or something. And because of that, legally, it was risky to air something. And so we couldn't.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of yeah, you gotta choose your battles there. Right. You know, I get that.
I was sad though.
Is there anything that you've put out over the course of the years that like you regret, or have you been lucky enough to never feel, never do something that you regret putting out
on the show specifically?
On the show or anywhere elsewhere?
I mean, I've done some things and said some things that I would love to have not done or said. But I also learned from those things and recovered from them and apologized where necessary. So yeah, I don't know. I think about nowadays, we don't have kids yet, but the whole thing with like, this is sort of a weird zag, but like pictures of your kids on the internet.
Oh yeah.
You ever think about that?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, should I have done that? Should I like, because I can never take those back. Like, what if they don't want to have pictures of themselves on the internet when they get older?
That's an interesting spiral you can go down late at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a rule, do you do that now or do you not do that?
I mean, I've done it a lot less.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to think about.
Yeah.
We're very used to, especially as a public figure, you're used to just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, food for thought. I can tell your wheels are turning on that one still.
Well, I was also trying to think if I should make a joke.
Oh, yeah. What was the joke going to be?
Nah, I was going to say, like, it? Oh, I also, you know, put that video of my butthole on the internet. But
oh, yeah. Well, you know, It was well trimmed.
Well, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Well, I need to trim.
You know, I mean.
Do you trim?
What?
How much grooming do you do?
Fair amount.
I do a lot.
Fair amount.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to.
But you go full
on the butt
crescent.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I get a little lazy there sometimes. Tough one. Tough one to reach.
Well, also, depending on how you trim, the hair can get coarse. The ends of the hair, I've had it.
Yeah, you don't want an internal, right. What do you call it?
An ingrown?
An ingrown, yeah, I try to avoid that. You know, yeah. Yeah, you've got a lot of ingrown hairs on your...
No, I don't.
I wasn't going to... I mean, don't get offended, no, dude. You brought it up.
Well, no. Well, I did bring it up. I don't. Well, I made the mistake once of, like, really trimming all of my hairs down there, and it was... And it really irritated. No, I didn't shave. I just trimmed. But then I was very irritated.
Folks, get your Manscaped trimmer at...
I'm waiting for them to reach out to me. I've talked about this before. I do a lot of manscaping.
Yeah.
I have to. Yeah. Armpits, I basically keep, like, super short.
When do you think the culture shifted toward fellas trimming the pits? Because I know in this audience, there's a lot of fellas like, I've never trimmed my pits.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think... Well, everybody's bodies are different. Some guys have a lot less or shorter armpit hair.
Mm-hmm.
I have thicker, longer hair that sort of just keeps growing.
Daddy long legs.
Yeah. Well, and I noticed that, and this is mainly why I do it, I smell way less when my armpit hair is short.
That's why I did too, so I could not wash my shirts as much.
Well, I also get Botox in my armpits, so
what
I don't sweat.
What the fuck?
Because it stops
Excuse
your
my
sweat.
French? Stops your sweat.
If you're a sweater.
Yeah.
You know, or they say, hold on, let me get the term. There's a hyperhidrosis is the
I have a disease.
Medical terminology for people who sweat a lot. So I was on, you know, I'm like on TV and I can't wear anything.
Oh, makes sense.
So I was like, what can I do? And like, oh, just put some Botox in there and it'll stop. And it's amazing.
So you got
stops.
And does it help with the mood? I heard that it's a mood booster.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
You've never heard that?
Botox I had not
mood,
heard
mood
that.
Booster?
No.
Yeah.
Where, just in your body anywhere?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't read past the headline.
Interesting.
Yeah. It could be fake news, too. Dante, did you have any questions or did Sig kind of take it?
They all got it.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, I've kept you here so long.
That's
right. And we're talking about injecting Botox into our armpits. So I don't want to take up more of your time, but I would love... You know, do a sketch. We can even bring your wife into the deal too if she's into that. I don't know if she's into that.
Sure, kind of
thing.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, man. I'm glad we could do this. And let me know next time you're getting some catfish. And hey, how about this? You're in Wisconsin filming catfish. We'll go catch some catfish. Like Winnebago. You want to go catfishing?
Sure.
Actual catfishing?
Yeah, absolutely. I really want to go noodling.
Oh, we can go noodling on the Mississippi River, the banks of the Mississippi. On the banks of the Mississippi. There's
I would say 1 out of 100 people, when I tell them to make a show called Catfish, say, oh, do you noodle? Like,
yeah.
I do get that.
That's good. It's more in the Midwest, in the South.
Right.
It's bigger in the South.
Bigger in the South.
Oh, my God. But yeah, you can do it.
Have you ever done it?
I did attempt it,
uh-huh.
And I was unsuccessful. But catfish... One of the first fish I caught was a little catfish, little whiskers. Actually, last story. I was fishing and I found this old beer can in the drink. I was kayak fishing and I pulled it out and there was some living in it. I was like, what the fuck? I pulled out my knife. I opened this old beer can, almost cut my thumb doing it. And inside, little bitty catfish.
Wow.
It was a bullhead. Which is kind of like a catfish. I don't even know if it's just a small catfish. I don't think it is. I think it's a different fish, but it looks like a catfish.
So, well, not a catfish.
But for the purposes of this conversation...
Well, the story kind of
made sense.
Well, the nature of the story was sort of deceptive.
It was deceptive. And inside, I thought I was just getting a beer can. And inside, there was an actual...
But then your telling of the story was also deceptive.
Don't pull this journalism crap on me on my own podcast.
No, I'm just saying, since it wasn't actually a catfish, it almost makes more sense that you told it in that way.
Yeah, because
right. you set me up.
I did.
And then
I did that intentionally.
Right. That's what
I mean. Thank you for. So you were trying to yes end my game. Yeah, you were trying to save it, and I just threw myself under the bus. Well, anyway, this was fun, man. Any final thoughts?
What's the name of the podcast?
Cripes Cast.
Cripes.
Yeah.
Like the expression.
Cripes Cast instead of podcast.
Right. And it's just you.
Well, and you.
Right.
And other guests.
But no co-host ever.
Colleen is kind of comes on with me on the intro.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cripes.
Yeah. I do another podcast with a co-host at a bar, the Bellied Up one.
And you got your music.
I do have a music album.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send it to you for Hanukkah.
You a record player?
I don't.
You don't have a record player? You know what? No. You got kids. You don't need a record player. I'm going to send you a nice, I'm going to find you a vintage vacuum. You're like, please don't. I live in New York City. I got nowhere to put that thing.
No. Final thoughts. I think I'm going to end up living in Michigan.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
When are you making the move?
I think maybe soon.
Yeah. Dude. That's so great. Detroit area or the maybe. UP?
No, I don't think
what about that a cabin far. In the UP?
I mean, I would love to get a house in Michigan somewhere. But why the UP? I mean, it's awesome, beautiful, dude. But it's just so remote.
Well, you know, that's part of the reason you go up there.
That's true.
Yeah. Or Traverse
what
City.
What about Mackinac Island?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you guys get
if
over
you're
there
spendy.
Ever? Right. Is it expensive?
I think so. I actually, to be honest with you, never been there.
Huh.
Yeah. I know. Judge me.
How far do you live from there?
About 10 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I got to go up the Horn.
Right.
All the way up through the UP. Right, Dante? About 10 hours? Seven? Yeah. But I got pee and...
I like Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee's great. It's really great. When are you there
next? It's like a little mini Chicago.
Don't call it that. When are you there next?
I don't know. I never know. I never know where I'm going and when.
Okay.
So you'll never get more than a few days heads up.
All right. Well, I'll try to be more on my deal. Now we have
now we can communicate.
Now we have the texting. Yeah. And when you call me, I'm really going to try to answer.
We should. Yeah. Should we make a pact? I have a pact with my brother.
That when you
you
call
have to answer if your brother's calling.
Okay. I'm going to do my best. I have my phone on Do Not Disturb a lot. All right. When you call, I will answer the call.
Okay.
I'm your Batman.
Great.
Mm-hmm. This was fun.
That feels good.
Yeah, it feels real good. Well, I suppose.
That about does her.
Yeah.
Wraps her all up.
All right. Well, where can people follow you?
Oh, it's okay.
Cool. Nice.
All right, folks, that is it for this week's episode of the Cripes Cast. Neve did not really give his social somewhere to follow him, but I'll do it for him. You can follow Neve at Neve Schulman anywhere you get your socials. That's at NeveSchulman. Make sure you follow him real quick. Colleen, thank you so much for being such a great producer of this podcast. You do a wonderful
job. It was
so
good to catch up with you.
Oh my gosh. I can taste the sarcasm over Zoom, but it was fun,
it was good.
Colleen.
It was good to catch up. But yeah, if you want to follow the Cripes Cast anywhere on social media at Cripes Cast and podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, please leave a review or comment or whatever. We love hearing from you guys about fan suggestions of who to get on, all of that type of stuff. And if you want to see the full video version of this podcast, go to Spotify or YouTube. And that's all I have for that.
Thank you, Colleen. And thanks to Hannah Milos for editing. And a big thanks to all of you out there for listening. We appreciate you, everyone. Keep her moving and do watch out for deer. We will see you next week.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin. Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.